Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Left jab to the chin.
Oh, he's in trouble. Good
big
night.
Trouble.
After the siren before, Tom Hawkins for his second goal of the night to win the game. It's a draw.
Bring that calls for it.
There you go. The old fake.
Welcome to the Clicking Balls podcast. This is AFL Round 15 Wrapped. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Brenton, have you got a highlight of the week?
Well, I mean, someone called it a highlight. It's a matter of perspective, really.
I thought I'd throw to you first, considering you told us you haven't got one before.
Yep, I've called an audible on the line. So, here it is. It's not really so much of a highlight. Well, it kind of was for me because it's hilarious, but, I mean, dude I work with. So, obviously, I work weekends at a craft beer bar. That's why we have a beer of the week.
Yep. Which is?
Which today will actually be the Omnipollo Ice Cream Pale Ale, which is... Omnipollo are a Swedish brewer, but they don't have their own brewery. They're called what's called a gypsy brewer, where they just go around to all these different breweries around Europe and brew beer and then sell it out of there. So,
hang on. We call that squatting, don't we?
Yeah, so they wander on, say, can I borrow your vat, make some drinks, sell it off, and then fuck off.
Start a bonfire out of the doors and stuff, and, you know, punch out of the windows. And
it does seem like...
Seven kids in there, too.
Seems like those shady toy dealers that come around Christmas and put up a little booth in the middle of the mall, and then when the toy breaks, you go, hang on, this didn't last more than an hour and a half. They're gone.
Well, that pretty much is how it works. And I don't know if they still claim, like, all the facilities on tax or not when it comes to the end of the day. But
I'm guessing they don't pay much tax anyway.
Yeah, well, they brew all around Europe, so it's not like it's just stuck in Sweden. Yeah. They're in Norway, they're in England, they're, like, all across the sort of continent.
So what's it called again?
Ice Cream Pale Ale.
All right. So I want some with ice magic.
Yes, well, actually, funny enough, we had a release of about 7 or 8 different Omnipollo beers. And one of them actually put ice cream in, made a spider, a beer spider. It tasted absolutely amazing.
Yeah, of course it did.
It was a stout. It was like real, like a marshmallowy stout. But this particular beer, they're very famous for their ice cream flavored beer, which does legit taste like ice cream. But also they did a lemon meringue pie, which legit tastes like lemon meringue pie. It's fucking insane.
Seems like someone's taking the piss here.
I was going to say Charlton Heston, but that's not his name. Fucking Heston Blumenthal.
Heston Blumenthal.
Charlton Heston Blumenthal.
Yeah. Pretty much is that sort of approach to beer.
Well, it's the same, except it's just in a shot glass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That works.
And so, yeah.
Anyway, your mate.
Takeovers, yes. And the mate, obviously, we had an Omnipollo takeover. Very high percentage beers, too. So, pretty much the ice cream pale ale is 6%. Up to 11.1% for their highest stout. So people just don't respect the high percentage beer. So people get hammered really quick and don't want to accept that they're hammered. And so when it's busy like that, it's hard to monitor everyone else. So they'll get mates come up and buy beers for them, and then you just don't really know who's really fucked up and who's not.
I find this astounding. Usually drunks are very reasonable and easy to deal with.
Well, yeah, they must just be the European ones, because the Australian ones are cunts. So anyway, it just so happens that our manager is away at the moment. And the assistant manager, or the other manager who is on, wasn't working that night. So it turns out I'm manager that night. So during the night, we had someone throw up in the toilets. We had a guy piss their pants and leave their jeans outside. and also...
Just airing them out, was he?
Coincidentally, we're a dog-friendly pub. So you can bring dogs in the premises. And a dog... actually shat outside, like next to the tables and whatnot. Very, very stinky. Cleared out the whole area.
Damn it, I thought you were going to say that that took care of the vomit and the piss.
Well, no, but I did take care of the vomit and the piss. I delegated to to the new guy who had to actually clean up piss, vomit, and shit all in one night.
Well, you've got to have your cannon fodder.
Did the trifecta.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank fuck, you know what? I'll help you out. I'll mop up at the end of the night. You can count the tills.
You've looked after the babies. Yep. I'll take the photo.
He's giving himself an extra $100 tip while he's out there. He's like, fuck it, I've earned this.
So it's kind of a highlight for me, but a low light for the poor bastard that had to clean up piss, shit, and vomit all in one night. It's a pretty good trifecta to have on your resume.
He's going to go to aged care after this and be grateful.
And be leading the pack.
Yeah. All right, Josh, you got a highlight of the week?
Well, it's hard to go past our old mate, Jeff the Hornet Horn.
Oh, we've been on him since... since I discovered his name after the final bell.
Yeah, backed him since Sunday afternoon.
Late Sunday afternoon.
Very late.
No, never any doubt. As soon as the judges read that scorecard, after I'd reread it a few times.
After it had been retweeted and everything. I thought, you know what? I've always been behind this lad, Jeremy Horn. It's not Jeremy, is it?
No, well, Jeremy Horn was the old school martial artist.
I fucked it up intentionally. That's all right. Keep going.
Manny just didn't quite have it, which is funny to say because he almost knocked him out in the ninth. But
I haven't seen any of the fight, but I did see a little bit on the news just then, and they showed the part where the ref went to them in the corner and said, "Mate, I'm calling the fight. You're finished." He goes, "No, we got it." He goes, "All right, you need to show me something this round."
Yeah,
and the ref wanted to call the fight, which. Really, I think that means you've called the fight.
Yeah, but exactly.
And he's world champ now. So,
well, he did have a good amount of octagon control.
Well, that's like me saying to someone, you know what? You just need a glass of water first, and then I'll serve you a beer. Yeah. Like you ain't getting that beer. Yeah. You have a glass of water and get the fuck out of here.
Two things are happening: either you are getting this glass of water, or you're getting turf.
Yeah.
Actually, remember, I don't know if you watched the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. It was pretty much a dance. Yes, two counter punches, sort of running around, playing tiki touch butt, whatever. This was not that. Our mate, the Hornet, just came forward every step of the way. And Pacquiao, it's a pretty decent counter puncher, probably one of the best of all time. And he was lighting him up. But the thing was, the Hornet goes, "Well, I can't beat him on counter punching. I'm just going to keep going forward." And he did. Keep pressing the pace. I think the refs respected that, or the judges. Really respected the fact he was willing to aggressively hit his hands with his chin.
Yeah.
And if you saw the media today, and he's done all media, and so he fucking should. This is his day.
Why wouldn't you?
He is fucked up. He can't see out of one eye. His nose is about 3 feet
got
wide.
Stitches all over his eyebrow.
But he is a winner. He's a world champion. He's got the belt over Manny Pacquiao. And in the contract, they have a contractual rematch. It will not be in Australia.
In Manila. Yeah. Good luck with that one.
Everyone has got the opinion that boxing is fixed. If it were, this would be a brilliant fix because no one was going to watch Manny beat up the Hornet. I think most of the US haven't been on him as long as we have because of the time difference.
Yeah.
So they were like, "Who the fuck is this?" I guarantee you they're going to watch the next one.
But also, there are a fuck ton of Filipinos in Australia. So I expect this to be pretty much a Manny Pacquiao home fight.
I was
packed out with 90,000 Filipinos in the stadium.
Brisbane was packed out. Like, they had a massive stadium. It was a brilliant atmosphere.
Suncorp Stadium, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Now,
damn.
Like I said, I know nothing about boxing, and I did not watch the
Let's
fight
pretend
at all.
You do.
But all I heard was every Australian said, "Yep, he won the fight." Every other person said, "He got lit up. Yeah. He got beaten." But, he runs 7 out of 12 rounds. But
Well may you say you know nothing about it. Neither does Steve Smith. The thing is, Steve Smith is paid by ESPN to commentate the fucking fight.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He, not the cricketer, obviously. Oh,
okay. I was going to say, I knew they were unemployed, but geez, he's moved on fast.
He normally commentates NBA. But,
oh, he's a basketballer.
Well, it's in the US, so I don't know.
Yeah. Might have been.
Anyway,
he's playing for the Heat,
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. But anyway, he literally had not known anything about Horn, which... it's understandable if you're a layman, but when it's your job to commentate for one of the major sporting news medias in the world, I reckon you can probably bust open Wikipedia in an ad break, yeah?
Yeah, but I mean,
I've seen Dermot Brereton commentate the equestrian at the Olympics, so I'm saying it's not confined to one sport, is it?
The UFC have just signed Snoop Dogg to be special commentator of their new... Contender series.
But that's fucking... that's ingenious.
Yes, it is. I mean, if you're going to have Snoop Dogg and Joe Rogan high as fuck coming to the UFC, I'm in.
I reckon Joe's gone. I'm in.
Yep. He's like, I'm coming back. I'm doing like Fox shows. I'm doing the
Special
Contender.
Comments, edgy bra.
Do you think maybe Joe was out? He's like, I'm not going to do it this year. Not going to do it. He's like, we get Snoop Dogg with you. He's like, I'm in. I'm fucking in.
I just like to see the word of the contract to get Snoop Dogg to sign it. It'd have to be like Snoop Dogg Elise.
No, it'd be just like...
It'd have to be a big print.
It'd be a piece of paper that just says, yo up. And he's like, yeah.
Full shizzle.
My highlight of the week, I'm going to work. Work's my highlight of the week.
Really?
You're
staying this time?
End of financial
sad
year.
Motherfucker.
This is week 3 for me. I got 3.5% pay rise. I earned that, bastard.
Yeah. I'm just wondering which job you're going to claim as your 15% tax break on.
Jesus fucking Christ. You turn up.
You've got three to choose from.
You've got them shaken. You turn up and quit a job after a day, and all of a sudden they're all fucking worried.
Yeah, you treat them mean. That's all I'm saying. It works.
Treat them mean. You treat them like Watson prostitutes.
It's the Mayweather theory.
All right, let's go to the footy. And it started off in very ordinary fashion on Friday night with Sydney getting up by 6 goals over Melbourne. A shocking game.
6 goals was flattering to Melbourne. It was
awful to watch.
The lead-in for Melbourne was pretty rough too. I mean, when some of their B-listers were out on the Terps getting fucked up drunk.
Yeah. The lead right from Bug was awesome though.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. Look, there was also a fair bit made before it that, you know, Watts is out, Hogan's out, and I think Garlett as well.
Yeah.
And they're coming off, you know, three games in 18 days or whatever.
Yeah.
But that was shit from the get-go.
Yeah.
Like, we were tired is no excuse because they were awful from the get-go.
Yeah. It seems like they're almost that young squad that has done really well and then started patting themselves on the back and then start failing.
Yep.
Almost like the Bulldogs after the grand final.
Yeah. The young kids believe their hype.
Yeah. And it seems like, yeah, that sort of... That hard work, whereas you're always, when you don't believe in your teammates, you have to do everything yourself because you want to win, and obviously the competitive spirit kicks in. But almost it's like, well, if I don't do so much, then someone's pick up the slack, it's going
to
be okay.
Yeah. But when you kick 11-19 too, like the Swans could easily have reversed that 19-11, just blown away.
One stage they were 2-13 or something.
Yeah, well, they were 1-8 in the first quarter, so that's where they went behind.
Yeah,
if that's 8-1, the game's already over.
Okay, so Bug. What else is there to say about it, really? I mean, he clocked a bloke right on the chin the week after Bashahuli's done it.
Yeah, look, it wasn't the worst punch of the weekend, so...
No.
The only thing that's in his favour is the fact he's not 6'7", 110 kilo. If he was that big, he could have damn near Barry Hall'd someone into oblivion.
It's indefensible.
It's as bad as what Barry Hall did. The only difference is he's smaller.
He's just not as good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost liable in a civil court. That's how bad it is. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can't just stand up, face on, and punch him on a football field.
How fucking cheeky, though. After the game, he goes up to Mills and offers to shake his hand.
Well, what else can you do?
Yeah, what else can you do?
You've got to do something, and if he wants to slap you one back, then, you know.
Actually, that probably would have been... Imagine if that did happen. Like, he gives him one after the siren. Probably the worst thing you do in football. You reckon the tribunal would have gone, he won't get as bad.
He's a good bloke.
Good bloke defense.
But it is that one. Like, if you do shake the hand on the field, and obviously you have to do something, but it is more telling about what you do behind the scenes when no one's watching.
Yeah.
So I would hope that he got in touch with him afterwards and made sure he's all right.
I'm sure he did, but, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, he walked up and punched...
20 or something.
He punched him on the chin.
Yes. Yeah. What happens on the field can stay on the field when it's stuff that should be happening on the field.
Yeah.
If you get a hard hit or something in the spirit of the ball of the game, that's one thing. But turn around and fair on clock a bloke.
Well, that's why I think we should have, like, forget AFLX. We should have off season AFL MMA where you settle the scores. You know, that way there'd be no controversy now about Barry Hall and Brent Staker. That'd have been in a cage and sorted out.
Bully beatdown.
almost
I can see Mayhem Miller coming out. Actually, he and Akamanis get along fucking famously.
Yeah, and Warhammer... Oh, no, he's no good.
Not War Machine.
Yeah, coming out for a long time.
No. Quite literally. Yeah. Buddy was really just on fire in the last few weeks. But in this game, there was just no answer for him.
Well, even with that, he could have done better.
Yeah, he could have. I mean, he was quite inaccurate, especially early on.
He was in a canter. Like, he had the game by the throat if he wanted it, and he just kind of went, we're not trying to win the championship here. We're waiting for the finals.
It was always going to be the questionable part of the Demons' game plan was that if that gets passed enough back, they're in big trouble.
Yeah.
They've got no back line that's going to be able to defend Benny, Buddy. And if you put Peterson back, then you're obviously shorting yourself in the ruck. So what are you going to do?
Maxi Gorn did all right.
Yeah.
But the way they handballed the ball through the middle, and I think that Maxi's ruck work was great, but he has shown more that with ball in hand, he's not as good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got caught up.
I think almost Melbourne played an Etihad Stadium style of football instead of an MCG style of football.
Yeah. It's good for the Swans.
Yes. Yep. You know, we've said before that some players get 30 plus touches and you think, where the fuck did that come from?
Yeah.
Parker was not that.
He had
a blinder. It was probably the best game I've seen from him.
Yep. And I can't really put your finger on how the Swans turned around. Like, it was just like a almost a, an autonomous gelling together.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it was. But, I mean, with the early 0-6, they were unlucky at times.
Yeah.
And when they turned it around, they were lucky at times.
Yeah.
So it might be just it. It's just literally a rub of the green, bounce of the ball type of thing.
Yep.
Because no way should they have beaten Essendon.
Like, yeah.
And Tigers gave them a 6-goal handicap, and no way should have that come back from that. But at the same time, they lost, you know, to the Bulldogs early on, and that was extremely unlucky.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think it's just a evening out.
Yeah.
But it does sound too like they might have started with a certain game plan and then abandoned it. Because like Longmire was saying, Stuart Jews was the one in charge of throwing Sam Reed
behind the ball
and turned out fucking famously. And, you know, it's pretty ballsy to throw that kudos to Stuart Jew when he's going to be in big demand. Well, around now.
End of the year, yeah. I wonder whose idea it was to play Tippett and the Toos. But anyway, seems to be working. All right, on to Saturday. Bulldogs and West Coast. A fairly decent game, but geez, have the knives come out for the Bulldogs again. They really need to do something to turn around because all the premiership hangovers. And I've said, the good thing about a premiership hangover is it starts with a premiership.
Yeah.
But this defence has gone to shit, hasn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, I didn't really expect much else from the Bulldogs. Like, I didn't expect them to be guns from the start of the season because last season was not an anomaly, but they hit their peak when it mattered. And that was like getting fit people on the field and also having a game plan that suited the opposition you're coming up against. Yeah.
They're the seventh best team in the comp that just happened to play best in September.
So when you average it out over a whole season, this is about how I expect them to be, you know, fighting for those like 4-8 positions or 5-8 positions and, you know, struggling to get there, but having that sort of be able to weather the storm and get there in the finals.
See, this is well worse than I expected them to be. As evidenced, Petrie, 18 touches, 1 goal, 2, but he had 8 marks and 5 tackles.
Played well.
Plus a bunch of hitouts.
Two in a row. It's a shame you'll get dropped next week for Kennedy.
You kind of have to. But this is the best game I've seen him play in the last 4 years.
Nah, well, last week was better.
Nah, this one was better. Even last week he got 4, I think.
Last week he was just about best on ground, but I tell you what, the match winner for this one was Nathan Vardy. Who would have thought?
Absolutely.
He easily took some big marks and kicked the big goals late at everything in the last quarter.
And in red time, he was brilliant.
Yeah, that's what they need, that consistency in the forward line with someone like that to be able to step up. But does he do it next week? That's going to be the real key.
Well, I wouldn't say he's consistent all game, but in the crunch moments, he was a monster.
When it mattered,
yeah
he was unbeatable.
But that's always been the criticism on Stringer, was that not consistent enough in forward lines and things like that. So,
And I tell you what, Bontempelli too. Obviously, he's got all the talent in the world. A little bit lazy, you know, especially when you go to the games and you see it. Sometimes he just hangs back a little bit.
Yeah.
Back in the day, Jared Ruffhead was exactly the same. Like even at warm-ups, he was the last one running and the slowest one.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do... If there was work he didn't have to do, he didn't do it.
He didn't get done.
And, you know, just his raw athleticism and talent got him through.
Yeah.
I see a lot of the same in the Bont, although he's got more talent.
Well, he's got Ruffhead there with him.
The other Ruffhead, yeah.
Like, you mean...
The lazier one.
The only one that really pulls off is Gary Ablett, let's be honest.
Yeah, well, it's a different kettle of fish, isn't it? It's like saying you shouldn't shoot threes from halfway.
Unless you're Steph Curry.
Yeah. Then you can shut your mouth.
But I was trying to kind of tell you, the Dogs did get let back in the game in the last quarter.
Yeah,
The Eagles did fade off a little bit, and it really could have been a demolishing if they had really put their foot on the throat, but it was always going to be, like, with that forward pressure, a front-heavy attack on the Bulldogs, and they're always going to run out of steam towards the end. It was a matter of whether you could weather that storm.
Mm. The rebound through McGovern, too. That was fantastic. Yeah. 10 marks he got.
Yeah, big grabs.
And some of them were really nice pack marks, and he was just a monster back there.
Yeah, and that's always going to play well, especially when you've got Easton Wood, who can do the opposite at the other end.
And he tackled motherfuckers, too.
Yeah, which needs to happen.
On to the other game at the MCG. The Crows by 2 goals over Carlton. It's a rough couple of weeks for the Crows. They've lost to 17th, and then coming up against 17th again, they've got up by 2 goals.
Yep.
But a win's a win, isn't it?
Exactly. And I feel like the scrutiny for them has been not unjust, but it's been localised in Adelaide media, who don't have a whole lot else to talk about. But had some big signings as well. I think both Crouch brothers have signed on for another few years. Texas signed on for another few years. Sloan's in the bag as well.
Yep.
So I feel like they're still travelling all right. You're going to have your bumps. You're not going to have a perfect season, so... I feel like this is something they're going to better weather.
Yeah, regardless of what happens this year, their window's wide open.
But the criticism is that Sloan can't handle the hard tag.
Which he can't.
Well, and that's finals. It's going to be harder than ever.
But that's about the rest of the team stepping up and picking up that slack. It's not about Sloan having to work through it.
I'd still like to see Scotty Thompson come back in. I don't know how he's going in the sample, though, so you know, there's should have a look at that first. If the season started at round 12, Liam Jones would be All-Australian centre-half halfback.
That's scary, huh?
God, how good are his hands?
Yep. It's been crazy. It's almost like the opposition are picking him out and kicking it to him.
He's reading the ball so well.
Yeah.
He'd never read the ball when they were trying to kick it to him.
But the thing is, they had Menzel there before as well, who was like their key backman. But now that's not working out. So they got Jones, who's actually stepped up, which I picked him as the athletic person that was never going to find his way in AFL.
Yeah. Yeah,
but he has.
He was a punchline to a joke at the start of this year.
Yeah.
Now, I cannot think of any player ever to turn their career around so quickly.
Especially at half back.
Especially for Carlton.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Usually Carlton players need to go to another club before they turn around like this.
I know your mate Burton might have the rising star almost stitched up, but Greenwood, he's going to get a nom if he hasn't already.
I haven't seen the nom come out today. No, he's far too old.
Is he?
Yeah, he's like 24 or something. I just remember
balls.
That. Yeah.
Eight kids.
But besides that.
If he was eligible, he'd Category B rookie. There you go.
Yeah. He's basketball background, like they keep telling us. But I'm nearly certain he was mature age.
Oh, well, there you go. So he can't get nominated.
But never mind. But still.
But if the rules were completely different, he might have a chance in a wildly different.
If they were completely different just for him.
Yes.
If it was census rules, where you could nominate whatever religion you want.
If he was born on the 29th of Feb, he'd be sorted.
Josh Jenkins, too. I think he was just about the difference in this one. They didn't have an answer. Like, they tried to keep Betts quiet. They tried to keep Walker quiet.
Yeah.
Did a fairly reasonable job on both those fronts.
Yeah.
But Jenkins, then, he came up again.
And that's the problem, is when your game plan is to keep their stars quiet, you've got to have some other stars that's going to take the pressure off of actually you being defensive. You have to be offensive at some point.
Well, I think Betts kept himself quiet a little bit. He still had those shots at goal that only he seems to be able to do frequently, but he missed, I think, four of them.
He's missed a few lately.
Yeah. And look, it's just him coming back to the pack.
I got to say, I know Adelaide fans would love him to be written off right now. Because then you know what's going to happen next week. It's like, there's goal of the year. Thank you.
Steph Curry all over again. Yeah. When all of a sudden he stops missing threes from halfway and shit. And like, he's lost it. He's lost useless. MVP bullshit.
Yep.
And then, they were in the finals and not lose a game in the finals for like 25.
They lost
in
one. Yeah. One game in the entire finals.
Yeah.
It was good to see Big Tex too take a mark about 60 out. And then wind it back, do a bit of candy around the mark, and then just fucking bang. Really, he is the absolute barometer of that team. Even when he's not hitting the scoreboard himself, he's setting other people up.
I'm still going to go with Sloan on that one.
Yeah, but I still like the way that he's
the most impactful Sloan. Yeah. But in terms of you want to know how the team's travelling, you look at Tex Walker.
He's got no problem taking the off-field pressure on his shoulders as well, which is very important for a captain.
Yep. He seems to make slip ups off the field, you know, mucking around on Twitter and that kind of stuff. And he goes, "Oh well,
hey, you need it." Like, so I love his ribbing of Kane Corns. It's been fucking hilarious.
And let's be honest, Kane deserves it.
Yes, exactly.
He's fucking shocking.
Yeah,
I thought his Twitter feud with Kyrgios was the best.
Yeah, exactly.
Sends his own highlight package. No,
until Dangerfield jumped in, then he was handling this well on his own. Just
was that Kyrgios, was it? I was going to say, I thought it was Joe Ingles, but I think he had a go at Joe Ingles as well.
Probably.
Did he really?
But anyway, I bet he regrets that now because Joe Ingles, I think, is earning more than an AFL club.
He's just signed a $53 million deal over 4 years.
Yeah.
I think Paddy Mills was $40 million.
He was even bigger, yeah.
Yeah. But I love Bogut's tweet. Was like, sweet, we can go to Ray Better Restaurants and play credit card roulette now.
All right. Gary Ablett finally played his 300th, and they got up over North. Lindsay Thomas with a late inclusion.
I have no fucking idea what that's about. Like, how can you go from the VFL to the AFL when you've just spent half the time, more than half, all bar about 28 minutes suspended?
Yeah, that's it. He skipped the VFL this time around. They said, that's your problem. You keep playing there and getting it reported.
And they tried something new with him. They threw him in the back line.
You know what? Yeah, we watched this game together, and I really liked Brad Scott's performance. Not that North were never really in it. I mean, they still scored 99 points, but he was trying things. He was moving things around.
Yeah. Well, did he try and bring Bruce into the team?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Well, he's got an elbow issue at the moment. But even one arm, I think
tennis
he'd still
elbow.
Be there. Rubbing one out. But
sounds like a play for draft picks to me.
Yeah. I'm going to go into bat for Scott on this. I did have a discussion on Twitter about this. He is
with who?
An underrated coach. All the North supporters, so four people. Like, you look at some of the things he has done, things like putting Tarrant backwards, in the back line.
Just face the other way, cunt.
That would have been a good idea. But he was a bloke who was almost surplus to requirements, and throwing in the back line, he is at All-Australian level. I don't think he's made All-Australian noms somehow, but phenomenal.
He could be like the centre halfback, only like ousted from rents. Like, that's the only one that's going to really take that position.
Yeah, I don't know how he's not in the fucking squad, to be honest. But he wasn't last year. Brilliant move. Lockie Hansen floating around the back line when he was competing with Petrie for the forward spot.
Yeah.
Not as much return in the last season or two, but great idea. And then you've got the fact they were able to push so deep in September with two prelims with the team they had, which was probably the eighth best team in the comp. I think he's underrated in what he's been able to achieve with the list he's got.
Yeah, that's probably fair enough.
Yeah.
I wouldn't talk too much about the Lockie Hansen one.
Yeah.
You were on a winner with the Tarrant one. But
He was leading the league in contested marks in 14, I think it was.
Yeah.
But 16, 17, he hasn't been great.
Yeah.
But he was a spectacular talent back in that day.
See, I feel like Cunnington has been the real force across halfback by trying to pretend he's Glenn Archer.
he does love that, doesn't he?
Yeah, went to the Bees and punched some motherfuckers.
But I got a lot of time for Cunnington. He doesn't pretend to be anything he's not. He decides I'll put hands in faces, either in the form of a fist or a don't argue. Either way, it's all good. Managed to drop, Bernie Vince with a nice liver punch.
Yep.
You know, you get a match for
and
that.
What opposition player wouldn't want to drop Bernie Vince?
Well, let's be honest.
Let's be honest.
Quite a few.
Fair cop there.
But I don't think you needed to say opposition. I'm sure that's not encompassing everybody.
But, you know, I don't think he's going to put his hand up to be All-Australian coach or anything, but I think he's definitely above the worst.
I hope he does put his hand up and is gutted when he doesn't get accepted.
No, and they announce
bullshit.
Him, they announce him, yes, you've got it, and he's like, yes, 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 yes. And then he looks up and Chris is up there already taking it. He's like, you motherfucker.
Anyway,
if you were picking a side right now, you had a choice of either of the Swallow brothers, you'd take Junior at the minute, wouldn't you?
Well, there was that key moment where Andrew Swallow is running out of back and he's just taking too many steps to make his mind up. Gets beautifully tackled by his brother.
He struggled this year too, hasn't he, Andrew? Has he spent a couple of weeks in the VFL?
Yeah. Well, the problem he's had is that his foot speed's not there and his disposal decision-making isn't there either.
Yeah.
And part of that too is mental. Like, he's not backing himself to go the proper option first. He's been taking the third option, and sometimes there hasn't been time for it.
Yeah, like the old saying goes, that he's taking the third of two options and that kind of shit.
I actually do have a lot of time for Swallow as well. He's an underrated tackler most of the time. He's not a Cunnington, because Cunnington fucking destroys people, but very hard-working tackler. Just, he's not quite fast enough, not quite clean enough, and I think I called it at the start of the season, he's a list clogger.
Yeah,
he still is.
Yeah.
I think if he can go to the Gold Coast and North can get anything, that would be a great result for North.
Yeah, I can't see you getting much back from him, though. Not at this. I mean, how old is he? He's not that old, is he?
No, he's 27, 28, somewhere
28,
in there.
28, yeah.
But, you know,
he plays older.
Still get something from him.
Yeah, not much.
Better than pick 88, I reckon.
I reckon it's touch and go. I'll be honest.
I reckon they can get something for him in anything. But yeah, this is about where everything that North could get out of the game, they did. In terms of they tried new things, they're trying new games. They know they're not going to be making finals. I don't think it's even mathematically possible anymore. Magic Door had another quiet one, but they're just going to be putting players in new positions, seeing what they can do right now. And
what new position has Magic Door got?
Bulldogs.
Not guilty?
Yeah.
He's surplus to requirements.
Well, look, he kicked a goal.
Yeah, but
Brown played better, and Waite played all right too. So I mean, you got
Waite on the wing.
Value.
Waite on the wing was fantastic until he did a calf, which is kind of, you know, if you can get 200 straight minutes of Waite, it's fantastic. Yeah. But you need about 3 weeks to accumulate that.
Sorry, he'll be right by finals.
Big Tommy Lynch though is unstoppable at times and looked like he wasn't in a canter. Even spent some time down.
That dribble goal was bullshit.
Yeah,
he's done that's right. Not doable.
Kick 5 goals and spent time, you know, as a loose man in defence.
Yeah.
It's not a bad little outing from the co-captain from the Suns.
North, though, too many forwards.
Oh, back to North, sorry. Yep.
Well, no other media is talking about him. Wait, do you reckon he'll be there next year?
Yeah, I think he's. I think you got to.
I don't know. You've got.
If he wants to pull the pin, yeah. I mean, he's got enough injuries to.
Yeah. It'd be great if you didn't need him, yeah. But it looks like he might.
Well, I don't think so. Magic Door, I think, will go. I think he is contracted to next year from memory, but they've got Nick Larkey in the VFL that's averaging 5 goals a game. So you've got to give him a spot at some stage. Ben Brown's not going anywhere. Mason Wood and Taylor Garner are young enough and agile enough that they'll be in the forward line option.
I don't know if Goldstein will be there next year, to be honest.
Well, yeah. Honestly, it'd be a tough call, but I think now's the time to trade him. He's still got quite a bit of value based on the fact he was the premier ruckman a couple of years back.
Yeah.
If he can reclaim a portion of that form, any team would love to have him.
And look, I think you pick up a nice little Adelaide Crow midfielder for a Goldstein. I think they could really use him in their game plan.
I'd take Jakey Lever. But also, actually, it'll be interesting.
$1 million.
Be interesting next year because John Blakey's son is going to be coming up, and apparently he's a superstar. But he's eligible for Brisbane because John Blakey played Fitzroy, North, and also he's an academy player for Sydney because John Blakey's one of the coaches there.
One of the coaches there. Well, it's going to be, I'd like to see everybody put a bid in.
I'm sure Sydney is stoked about that.
All right, on to the... Oh, yeah, Gold Coast with the other team in that game. on to the Giants and the Cats playing out a draw. It is funny whenever draws happen.
I fucking called this.
Because it's... obviously 2 points each, but there is one team that would be more happy with a draw than the other.
Yeah,
I think this is Geelong. I think they did well to push them to a draw up there without Selwood.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. The fact that Dangerfield got 120 possessions was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
With a
45.
Team like GWS, who have got enough great midfielders to be able to sort of be able to pick up the offset of having someone tag Dangerfield out of the game and still be able to have a very functioning, very dominant midfield as well. Yeah. Yeah, Dangerfield still steps up. It's ridiculous.
25 contested possessions.
Yeah.
That's
fucking
like
phenomenal.
They went into the final siren, like ahead, I think, like towards the last half of the last half.
Well, I mean, it was a draw, so final siren. Once it sounded,
what I was trying to say was they were ahead.
Geelong were behind.
Good news ahead.
When the siren went, Geelong were behind by a point, and Tommy Hawkins, when he lined up, he was never going to keep that goal. I don't know. I was watching with Dad, and I'm like, he's missed this already.
Yeah,
it's not going anywhere near it. And it's very rare that you see a shot after the siren shanked like that, but it was just an absolute shank.
Yeah.
It snuck in for a point.
Well, did you see what they said? It was because the umpire's whistle.
Of course it was.
Whistling as he kicked the ball.
Shut the fuck. Because he usually plays in front of fucking 90,000 people.
That's a Travis Cloak excuse.
I don't think Tom Hawkins didn't make that excuse himself. I think other people were just...
No, I'm dobbing him in. I reckon he did.
Although you talk about spending time in the VFL, I think his facial hair needs some time to develop in the VFL. He needs to hand it over to somebody else.
The chin strap.
Yeah, it needs work is all I'm saying.
It's very Western Sydney though.
A lot of people were really looking forward to Wiley Buzzer making his debut.
I can see why.
On name alone. Which ever since he was drafted, people were all about it.
Had him on my super coach team every year.
although I'd seen his photo on the draft and laughed at the name and that kind of stuff, I never knew he was a tall forward. I always thought he was a small crummer or something. I don't know why. He just seemed like it. Just Wiley Buzzer. Yeah, you run around.
It's a cool name, but it's not a Cockatoo Collins. No. So good luck with getting the team.
anyway, he kicked a couple of nice goals. Looked all right.
Yeah.
But he is, he's not best 22 for him.
No.
Yeah, young Boomer Kelly. He was a bit wasteful. 25 handballs out of his 33 possessions. He could have done better.
That might have been it. But I do feel like this was a moral victory for Geelong.
Yeah.
But with Adelaide having such a great percentage, it's great for both teams because it just takes that out of the equation now. Mm-hmm. For GWS, who are sitting first.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Played second and Geelong third.
Did you see old Razor Ray? You see his little clip this week?
No.
You know how the umps can... Normally they'll grab a drink from the runners of the teams.
Yep.
Yep. He's Patton. He's in there getting a drink and Razor comes over, sort of grabs a drink off the runner as well, and then has a bit of a cheeky wink to Patton and gives him a punch in the arm on the way. He's like... On your mate. You see Patton just look at him, just go, the fuck are you doing?
I will pick my teeth with you.
Cool story, bro.
You know, you get the little kids that come and go, hey, bros, how you doing?
How you doing, man? How's your weekend?
Fuck off. And just, it was funny as hell to see Patton's reaction. And then he sort of turns back, sort of runs away, looks back at him, and he's like, fuck was that?
Last for a kick, you get cunt.
Did you make anything of the last deliberate out of bounds decision?
Yeah, there.
Yeah.
Me too. And yeah. I don't think it was a bad kick by the Giants.
No, no.
Was it Heath Shaw?
Heath Shaw.
It
was. Take that. If it's out of bounds on the full, that's dumb because you haven't got enough ground. But for a start, you put the decision to the ump.
Yeah.
And I think it was the right decision to make, but it's also the right decision to make to kick it along the boundary line. Because if you kick it along the middle of the ground,
it's coming straight back
at you, and it's a fucking goal. And
At least this way, you got a couple of seconds to reset. And they didn't reset properly, which is...
No.
Left Hawkins with a one-on-one.
Probably had to try and go a little bit longer along the boundary, but, you know, it's an oblong fucking ball, and you never know what it's going to do. It can bounce right back in.
If he could kick it 80, he would have kicked it 80.
Yeah.
But he kicked it as far as he could, and... I think knowing full well this is going to come back, it's a free kick. But still, I reckon the right decision. They need to put two men on Tommy Hawkins.
So we're going to kick it straight to the umpire. Just put the blame on him.
All right, on to the Power and the Tigers. What a win by the Tigers. It's one of their better wins for the year.
Yep, I was struggling. Like looking at the halftime score, I was thinking this is going to be ugly in the last half because we have not managed to run out of game. But no. Port gave this up with their very poor disposal in the last half.
And also,
they were shit house.
They were 5-11 to half time.
Yeah.
That's terrible shit.
Yeah, but 3-8 ain't much better. Yeah.
No, it's not, but it is better.
But
it's,
from
it's
the defensive,
better enough.
From the defensive side of things, like, we managed to pull Dixon downfield, which he should not be downfield ever because his skills are horrible.
Well, that's the other...
Even his kicking goal was horrible, but that's where he needs to be.
The other amazing thing about the game was Rance got beaten.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And repeatedly
beaten. Yeah.
He got tagged.
Yep.
He
got beaten time and time again.
Yeah.
It's funny to see... Like, he did get beaten, but he took two players. It was funny to see someone tagging him to stop his intercept possessions.
Yeah, but Grimes stepped up as well, which made a huge difference.
That was the other thing. Grimes, his decision-making, actually, for the last couple of years, besides his injuries, whenever he's played, he's been such a solid contributor down back and makes smart decisions.
Yeah.
Him and... Rance is by far the best backman or, you know, key position defender in the league.
Yeah.
But they are the best duo going down back.
Yeah. The only thing that shat me was I didn't see Powell, Pepper and Dustin Martin go for a double fend off or anything.
Well,
it was close.
One each they were. Yep. It was well documented.
They were one each, yeah.
When they had a go at it. The only thing is, like, I love that Powell, Pepper is going for the fend offs all the time. As he matures, he'll go for something else off the fend off afterwards, like try and actually hurt people.
Be like a front kick.
With the ball, as opposed to everyone going to fend
just,
off.
Yeah, just running with it and doing fuck all.
Well, maybe his contract incentivizes it. So he's just trying to rack it up.
And big Dan Butler with maybe goal of the week as well.
Yeah, what a run.
What a run.
And especially just the audacity to deny Dusty, who's free in the forward line, an open kick.
Audacity's one word.
Yep.
He's fucking walking home.
Yeah. But I thought this was a four-quarter from the Tigers, but the Power, I think, really let this one go.
Yep.
It was almost them in the last half doing what Richmond usually do, is have that real high-pressure, high-running first half of the game and not being able to close it out. But the Tigers were almost reactive in that first half, which might have played to their benefit because they had a lot of gas in the tank for that last half to be able to get on top. And it showed from there, be able to run through the middle and from the half-back line, which has killed Port at Port's own game, which is crazy.
So I think Nankervis has had a great season, but Paddy had him. at this game.
He's been beaten, I think, more often than not in the last month.
Yeah.
Before that, he was doing brilliantly. But yeah, Paddy's athleticism was too
good.
Maybe Nank's just come back to where he actually is a little bit.
Well, he has been against second string ruckman quite a few times.
Yeah.
But yeah, Paddy Ryder, phenomenal athlete. Had less possessions, 17 to 21, but better kicks and pants to been hit outs, 42 to 28.
Yeah, and I think for the Tigers, the real key for their season has been that when someone has an off day, someone's picked up the slack.
Yep.
And I think Caddy was awesome around the ground when usually he's been pretty average.
Lambert as well.
Lambert's been like an instrumental player for the Tigers.
I think he had one of his better games too.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
And interesting, like Chad Wingard had 39 touches, 27 kicks.
Really?
I don't... Yeah, again, I didn't
have... I see what he did.
I think a lot of those were clearance kicks.
Maybe? I'm not sure, but...
Yeah.
I was just looking at the stats then, and I'm like, yeah, I thought he played okay, but...
I was more worried about Wines in terms of his ability to create play, whereas Wingard seemed to be just...
It was Wines and Trengove.
Bang.
Yeah.
Wines and Trengove.
Trengove was best for him by far.
Yeah, for Port Adelaide. Like, Trengove really did a number on Rance, and Rance was a little bit susceptible to his, not flopping, but trying to play for free kicks, and ones that trying to make a free kick out of something that's
sometimes
maybe questionable.
I think he was just beaten hands down. It wasn't flopping. Yep. It was, I got pushed over.
It's ambitious for a backman to play for free kicks.
Yeah.
Because you get it wrong and they've got a goal.
Yeah.
You get it right and you might avoid a goal.
And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with that sort of way of looking at the interaction between forward and backman.
Oh, shit. If you're a backman, do everything you can because all the rules are against you.
Yeah.
The one player who does need to pick up for the Tigers, I think, is Edwards. His output's been very much down this year.
See, he had one of two good passages of play, but I think with Castagna as well, picking up what he's capable of doing, getting a more sort of, not dominant, but more involved role with running through the centre, I think it's made a huge difference. Him and Lambert have almost pushed Shane Edwards out of his role.
Post-match, Ken Hinckley said words to the effect of, it's fair to call our Port Adelaide pretenders. Now, he didn't say those exact words, but he said, you know, that tag.
Hey, that won't stop the media putting those words in his mouth.
All I want to say to Ken Hinckley is, I'll call him whatever I fucking want, mate. Don't you go telling me. Don't you go giving me permission. Matter of fact, that kind of ruins it for me if you do give me permission.
Yeah,
I'll call him whatever the fuck I want.
It's like I've come up with a new name now.
The cunts. Essendon and Brisbane at the Etihad Stadium. I wrote this off, this game. I thought, don't bother. Brisbane have got too many injuries to key players. Essendon are smarting after losing one they should have. But when I was listening to the radio and they're doing the scores, like, Brisbane coming back. I was at the Hawthorn Collingwood game and I thought, they should have put the result up on the screen. You'll make everybody in this ground happy. There'll be 60,000 going, you little beauty! Yes!
It was the biggest cheer of the game.
it's almost a shame Brisbane don't get enough media exposure because this young lad, Zorko, I think it must be his first season or something. He can go all right. He might go somewhere.
I tell you what, you want to say that Greenwood could be a chance at the Rising Star, but unfortunately he's not eligible. Hipwood is.
Yeah.
He's going to fall short, I think, but God
based
damn.
On wins and losses, I think.
He has got some talent in him. Yeah. He's got some height. Obviously, he's very lean, but geez, he can move.
Yeah.
Four goals.
Yep. And they were qualities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's some of, like, especially young players who, it's not about physicality, it's about just reading the ball.
Yep.
Like, that's something that can't really be taught. That's something you've got or you don't. And so those players always been sought after, especially where you just need one big, powerful full forward and you just need small crummers or midfielders who run forward and then, like, take care of the rest when he hits the deck.
Lions win by 8 and Joe Danaher kicks 3 goals, 4 from at least 8 shots on goal.
Yep. Well, I've never really been I never bought into the hype of Joe Danaher, to be honest. I thought he's got the potential, but he hasn't shown it yet.
See, that's the problem.
Saw potential and then went, he's going to be this.
Yeah.
I felt the same way, and then I was willing to admit I was wrong after you had that patch of form. Now I'm kind of thinking...
Yeah, see, I'm more stubborn.
Yeah.
He still had 7 scoring shots. And like I said, more than 7 shots on goal, but 7 scoring shots is a good outing.
Yeah.
He just hasn't converted.
He's a bit of a Casbolt.
I don't know why, but he reminds me of like a cross between Ned Flanders and Goofy.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
Like sometimes he kicks a goal. Golly gee, that one went through, did it? Hey, do you see it? I got it. I kicked it. I did.
Maybe throw in a bit of homeless wine to go with it.
Like falling ass first into like success, more or less.
A little bit, Like a little bit of Jar Jar Binks thrown in.
But I think the most excessive thing of this was how Brisbane won it. Like coming back in the last quarter, I think showed determination that they maybe aren't warranted to have. Yeah. Almost like they should have given up by this point, but still fighting out a game which was should have been lost at three-quarter time.
McCluggage as well. Is he the number two draft pick from last year? He's showing he's got that class there. He needs to develop, and he's probably getting a game earlier than the Lions would have liked.
Yeah.
But the talent's there and obvious from his where he got drafted that it would be there.
Yep.
McDonald, Tip and Woody.
He was number three.
Number three, was he? Yeah. There you go. Who had number two pick then last year?
Oh.
Who finished second last? Carlton.
Yeah. Sure.
I can't remember.
Wittering?
Yeah. Anyway, no, he was number one the year before. Yeah. McDonald, Tip and Woody kicked two goals, but he's only had six touches. I think that with a player that explosive, you got to find a way to bring him into the game.
Yeah.
Like, and two goals, I think the goals were late too. They might have been the last quarter goals. Yeah.
I feel like he's someone who could benefit in that situation as being a loose man down back. Maybe. He really set up their actual offensive structure.
A Bashahuli style.
Wow, well, hopefully a lot more successful than Bashahuli, but, you know.
Besides that, there was somebody else who had a great game. Oh, Matheson stood up a little bit. Louis Taylor. That's it, yeah. I thought his ball use was magnificent.
Yeah.
Really didn't waste a possession.
Actually, on Bashahuli that I just mentioned, you see one of his character witnesses is in the shit now.
Yes.
It's got a bit of media coverage. The most media coverage the Suburban League has ever ever got. Yeah.
Well, he does sort of have himself primed. I've forgotten his name. Fahoud.
Ali Fahoud.
Yeah, Aline. I don't know, I'm probably going to fuck it up.
Anyway, for those living under a rock that don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, pretty much a bit of a brawl gets going on in the Northern Football League.
In the fuck all grade.
Yeah. And he's run on from about 10 metres away, and King hit a bloke and knocked him the fuck out. Now, when you're a character witness for Bashahuli, who has done something not dissimilar, probably best not to one-up him by making it 10 times worse and doing something that's far... But one of the worst things you can... I've ever seen on footy field on camera that wasn't in the Magic 80s.
There's not that much difference between what he did and what Barry Hall did. For those that haven't seen it, and I don't believe there's anybody listening that hasn't seen it, because it's been going
everywhere. Worse than what Barry Hall did, to be honest.
Who was the St Kilda player with the bowl cut?
Robbie Muir.
Robbie Muir, yeah. Robbie Muir.
Spin around and knocked out that Carlton player.
Yeah, exactly. It was almost like that style.
Well, this was worse because the player was engaged in a bit of push shove with another player, and he just come in, blindsided him and belted him.
Yeah.
That's all it looked like. There was a bit of push and shove, and somebody threw in a tummy punch, and then he came in over the top.
An AFL diversity ambassador. Officer?
Ambassador. Yeah. No, so manager.
That manager, or yeah, he's an employee.
So the problem is that...
what a fucking dumb cunt.
In terms of ways to make the media fucking shit jack itself into an oblivion of self-congratulatory orgasm, being... throw Muslim in there. Like that's a headline that gets noticed. Throw in somebody who works for the AFL, and someone whose brother just took a $15 million golden handshake from Australia Post.
And throwing coward punch too.
Coward punch as well. Yeah, it's his brother, Ahmed Fahoud. And you've pretty much got today, tonight's wet dream. they will be door-stopping him, asking him why he's taking jobs from Australians.
It'll be grandma's protesting at Coles.
See, what's funny is I'm a big proponent of what you do on the weekends, your business, it's got nothing to do with work. If he went out and got in a fight at a pub on a Saturday night, nothing happens.
Yeah.
But immediately as I saw that and they said he's the diversity officer, whatever it is, I go, he's sacked.
Yeah.
I can't see why, how he cannot be.
Well, technically he's in uniform. Like he's wearing the AFL insignia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. But I can't see it. And he made a very teary apology in a press conference. I mean, that's all he can do. But, you know, and obviously people are saying, oh, the character witnesses are... He can't have a character witness.
Yeah.
He walked up and punched somebody. And well, ran, actually.
Video is a great character witness.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
It's hard to say you wouldn't do that intentionally when you have done that intentionally.
Yeah.
I mean, Bashahuli, you can say, oh, I just spun around and I didn't realise he was there.
I can take that with Bashahuli. He didn't mean to hit him in the face, but he meant to hit him, but he got him in the face.
When you run 15 metres to blindside a bloke and knock him the fuck out, and he wakes up
and especially
in hospital,
when you set up on his blindside too, that's fucking dog part of it.
It ain't right.
You pushed him and then shaved on and went, alright, let's go, cunt. It's like you intentionally went on his blindside and then clocked him and jawed him.
I don't care if good bloke Nick Riewoldt does this. That's career ending.
We didn't touch on the Nick Riewoldt one. It's coming up. That's why we haven't touched on it. I'm in such two minds about it, though, because I feel sorry for you, guy. You're going to lose your job over something you did on a footy field. At the same time, you're obviously a cunt, and you probably you deserved it.
Yeah.
It's embezzling.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah. And I would like to see the longer part of the footage and see if anyone from the other team came up and clocked him back. Because I know, like, in our country league, if that happened, then it would have been on for Young and Old. It would have been, like, spectators over the fence.
Anyway, he's going to lose his job over it, and he won't be playing footy
anymore. Well, you mentioned that. Apparently, he has a previous history of jumping the fence because one of his relatives was involved in an altercation in the bleachers. So, I don't know the bloke. I'm suggesting maybe he has some anger issues he wants to get addressed, and I dare say that's number one on the AFL list of requirements of keeping employed, if he can.
Maybe he should employ a bit more like stringent vetting process.
Maybe. Anyways.
I'm available for that job too.
Google man.
Yeah, you're going to say you won't punch cunts out.
I'm pretty diverse, man. I'm like, I hate everyone.
I'll punch anyone, yeah. Hawthorn and Collingwood at the MCG. I did something unusual this one. The first time I went to the footy by myself with the headphones in, set up in the top deck. I've got to say, not a bad day at the footy.
Did you have a little footy record marking down possessions?
I so should have. I wanted to bring a thermos and my binoculars too, but it didn't happen.
I still remember the first time I went to the footy alone. It was when I didn't actually live in Melbourne and came down to visit the folks. And Richmond were playing St Kilda at Etihad Stadium.
Right.
And I rocked up like just before the first bounce was going to happen and parked on Spencer Street in a two-hour parking session, two-hour parking zone.
Right.
I was like, fuck it. I can't be bothered finding like a legitimate park. I want to get in there for the first bounce.
It's ambitious.
Yep. By halftime, I was like, wow, shit, 2 hours. Oh, my God. Better go get to my car before I get a ticket. I was out of there when we were down by 7 goals.
Right.
I'll tell you what, I'm feeling pretty good about my round 17 for Bucks.
I think he's got to stay on. I think regardless, they're going to wait to the end of the year now.
I'm not so sure because there's a little birdie flying out that there's going to be a vacancy at GWS in their senior coaching panel.
Okay, I know what you're talking about now. Yep.
Yeah. It's not Cameron. He's not going anywhere. So the two left are Dean Brogan and I think Lenny Hayes is their midfield coach.
Is he now?
I'm pretty sure. So one of those two is going somewhere, or at least planning on it. Now, Dean Brogan, decent pickup if you're Collingwood. And they're probably talking to Stuart Dew as well.
If you're a male netball team.
100% they're talking to Stuart Dew. They've been talking to him for years. Don't worry about that.
But it's whether Stuart Dew wants to pick that up.
Exactly. He's got some
choices. He's pretty interested in GWS, though.
So there are coaching movements in the offing. And if you're talking about coaches under pressure, going down the ladder list, Bolton safe.
Oh, God damn, Bolton safe. He's turned Liam Jones into an All-Australian caliber.
No one's going to Brisbane. No. Brad Scott should be safe, but, you know, whatever. And then you're up to Carlton. Clarkson, he's safe for at least one more year. So Buckley's the one under the most pressure. And he will know soon whether it's going to be happening next year or not. Because this week they play
Essendon.
That's going to be defining. And then week after it's Gold Coast up there. They lose both of those. I can't see him coming up Monday.
See, what I reckon is going to happen is Collingwood have already told him, look, you're going to be coaching to the end of the year regardless. And we'll talk about it end of the year. I reckon they're going to go, what do you reckon, Bucks? Do you want to resign? And Bucks is going to go, you know, I honestly believe he's going to say, I am not good enough. My results aren't good enough. I want to quit before I'm pushed. I reckon he will resign.
Yeah.
And that's how they'll spin it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's the way it's going to happen, actually. I don't know. I just I think Collingwood have a much better list than, where are they, 16th?
Yeah, might be slightly higher than that. I'm not
15th,
sure.
15th. They've got a better list than that.
I think what people don't talk about is their injury list. Their injury list is huge. So there has to be a reason for it. When it's been that consistent over that many years, there has to be a reason for them being consistently injured and not being able to put their best team on the park.
I think form fluctuates as well, because they sometimes look like world beaters. Remember early in the season, they beat the Swans. All right, Swans went 0-6, but geez, they looked good that day. And they looked organised.
Yeah.
Here, look, another thing about this game was why they lost this one. I think Clarkson was so much better than Buckley. Some of the things he did, I've never seen him do before.
Yeah.
We talk about tagging Backman. He sent Taylor Giray to Jeremy Howe. Yeah. Like, Taylor Giray's never played forward in his life. And he's kicked, I think he kicked the first or the second goal for the Hawks as well, and made sure that Howe knew all about it.
Yeah.
He played maybe the game of his career.
Yeah, and that's actually a very a good point, was the fact that if you can just get in those heads of those players just once or twice, and that affects the rest of the game. especially making someone be accountable for another player when they're not used to it.
I don't get why Howe was used in the ruck. You've got Mason Cox there, who's 7 foot tall. Surely, you know, you can keep one of your best marks where he's supposed to be.
Or even maybe put Howe forward.
Yeah.
I don't know. But what I did like about it was they've got a very young back line, and they went for he's the senior one. All right, maybe Dunn's a bit older, but yeah. He is the leader in the back line right now.
Yeah.
We'll target him.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah, you have to.
But where this game was really won was in the middle. I think everyone would agree that Collingwood's strength is their midfield.
Yeah.
They got smashed around the ball.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, Tom Mitchell in a good team, he's probably all Australian. But in Hawks, he's like, it's cool. Of course, someone has to get possession, so it may as well be Tom Mitchell. Like, it's completely underrated.
Yeah. I think he'll probably make the all Australian bench, which is really weird for somebody averaging 36 touches a game.
Yeah.
But that's the only player I see it going.
Jamie Elliott got one goal, but really not an impact on the game.
The goal he got too was the one in the goal square, where the work was done around him more or less.
And look, probably rushed in the team as well. Like they needed him to come back. They needed other players like him to come back. So,
but Schoenmakers had a better game than he did.
Yeah, Schoenmakers had a good game. Kicked a couple of goals and could have kicked a couple more. But I thought, you know, Burgoyne is backed up after his brilliance last week. He was a consistent four quarter effort from him this time.
Yeah, which has been very rare in the Hawks this season.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Burgoyne's been the one where you'd almost like, when the Hawks are, if you just looked at their win-loss ratio, you'd think that those old guys have to go. But Burgoyne's been enough that he's definitely got another season, two seasons in him.
He might be in the top three or four for the best and fairest this year.
Yeah,
Which means he's probably gone.
Yeah.
I thought Ben McAvoy as well. He didn't get many touches, but Grundy has been maybe the best player for Collingwood this year.
Yeah.
He's all Australian little ruckman.
Behind Treloar.
It's between those two, I think. I thought McAvoy had the better of him around the ground. And for the first time, Grundy looked panicked.
Yeah.
Made a few mistakes.
Which we're waiting to see.
Well, I fucking hope so, because he's only 23 years old.
Yeah, he's going to be
a star. He's got a decade more of this.
Who is?
Jesus. Grundy.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Don't you listen to our podcast? God, we did this last week.
Damn. Yeah, I'm usually drunk, so I just don't remember.
Still amazing. Still amazing, though.
Beer of the week on your polo.
Daniel Howard hit a great game as well. I think Ruffy's kicked two goals, but geez, at times he looked past it.
Yeah, and I think it's just lack of options that kept him in a job, and also the story.
The story. Do you
kill Bambi?
When you're down, you need a story like that to be able to get people coming up to the games.
Absolutely.
I think he's been managed well, but
and made him captain. But he hasn't missed a game this year, which says a lot for the old body holding up. But when you're losing one-on-ones in the goal square against Steel Side Bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. Yeah. That's really tough. And it could be the swan song.
How do you cut him? Like, can you say, mate, I think your body's had enough. You can't come back from this. He's like, you know what he did come back from? Well, fucking cancer.
Fucking cancer. Well, that's
I'd come back from that. I'd come back from this.
I think you do the Ivan Marish and you just put him on the out and say, look, here's your job is like coaching these kids, and then you just wait for him to quit as opposed to having someone go and get punched in the face for telling him he doesn't have a job.
Well, as captain, though. They've done that. But anyway.
So you're saying he's going to West Coast.
On to the final game. The Saints get up over the Dockers. I was actually really excited watching this game in the car park. It takes fucking ages to get out of the MCG these days. Geez, the Saints should not have won this. But
12-17.
They had the majority of the ball, but the cleaner play was from the Dockers. And Michael Walters has put in the game of his career.
Well, that's just it. It was the Saints versus Walters.
He needed to as well. But the Saints just didn't kick straight. In all honesty, they should be playing way better than what they're playing now.
Yeah.
Their expectations for this season is way ahead of where they're sitting currently. So you would have hoped that this game would have been a whitewash for the Saints. Mm. But the fact it was competitive is all in Frio's favour.
Well, the funny thing was the Saints managed to win with Revolt kicking only 0-1 himself. Wow. But he managed a nice score assist.
Big assist, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, I've...
This was Boomer-esque.
100% it was.
Yeah.
Ruiz, he's played 320 games, kicked, I don't know, let's say 600 goals. He's decided to cash in his chips and do the one sneaky veteran move.
I'm a big fan.
I got no problem with it. I mean, he didn't do anything illegal.
No.
He just happened to do it to a bloke that's playing his second game.
I love it all in bluff. I love it all in bluff.
So for anyone who isn't living on planet Earth and didn't see it, Membry's taken a goal. I think probably, 45 out?
Let's call it a mark. Yeah. A little bit closer
a mark,
than that.
Yeah, sorry.
So about 30 dead in front.
Oh, there we go. I can't remember the free out player. Old mate there. He's picked the ball up, which is probably dumb as a defender. You don't do that, mate. The second game.
You don't need to.
You don't know anyone the ball. They can go fucking sort it themselves. And he's decided, you know, I'll throw it back. Remember, he's walking with his back to the play. He's taking his 3K long run up. And old mate St. Nick, he's up waving the arms in the air, saying, throw it, kick it to me, kick it to me. And then when the ball's in midair, he's moved out of the way, and the umps just see it bounced at the wrong player's feet.
Yep. He's, so done he's done the Matador.
He has.
Besides, the stupid thing is, though, even if he caught it, it's still 50.
Yeah.
By the letter of the law.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, this looks much better doing it this way.
Yeah.
Do you think he's done the Hulk Hogan? He's gone heel turn late in his career.
Yes.
I like it.
In which case, I'm all for it. Yeah. This would be great. You should do something like this every
week. Another 2 years out of your career.
How can you be the golden boy when your cock is all over the internet?
Exactly. And especially that you're, if you're sending your cock around to your mates, then some problems
My
there.
God, he's more like Hulk Hogan than I thought. It's the greatest...
Brother love's involved somewhere.
The greatest analogy I've ever made. I didn't even realise it.
I reckon we could convince him to get a skullet. I can picture him.
Well, that would look Photoshop awesome, man. Shit. That would be German as fuck, too.
Just having a quick look. Who are the Saints? They play the Tigers next week. I'll tell you what.
Oh, my God.
What can he do?
MCG or Etihad?
How can we all turn up with skullets?
Please tell me it's on a Sunday.
It is Saturday.
Ah, fuck. Both of you cunts.
You know, I hope he runs through their huddle at 3 quarter time. I want him to run with it.
Hope he enters the ground by zip line from up in the stands and comes down with a belt.
Any wrestling fan can tell you, if you're going to go like your character, go with it. You've got to live your character.
Hope he chicken walks onto the field.
Or, you know what he should do? Put a Richmond tracksuit on and then rip it off. You know, you thought it was Jack. Oh, it's me. Oh, if he turns on his cousin, a chair shot in the goal square.
During his sister's game.
Yeah, it's the Maddie match too.
Maddie match.
Yep.
That's some Eddie Bravo shit.
If you go full, just go full heel. Fucking, I'd tune in every week. I'd watch it on YouTube.
I'd like him to take on some WWE MMA style turn heel. Little avenues.
At the press conference, because they're going to have a press conference.
Steel chair!
With Nick and Jack.
Yes.
And Jack, and Nick should blame Jack for it.
Yeah, then chair him in the face.
Yeah, fuck it. And then talk to him as he's lying on the ground.
It would be a packed
stadium. You deserve this. I wish you were the one that got cancer.
Yes. Oh, fuck.
We call it the McGregor effect.
I tell you what, you'd have 50,000 at
the place would be packed, for sure.
Why don't they employ
me? It's to be all Tiger supporters, but whatever.
All right, let's move on to round 16, so I want to get out of here. Crows Friday night at Adelaide Oval against the Bulldogs.
I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, I'll tell you what, the Bulldogs need to bounce back, but can you go past the Crows?
The game plan for how to beat Adelaide is out there. Tag the fuck out of Sloan. They've got probably 4 players that could take that role.
Bring Libba back for it.
Well, he's the one with nothing to lose, isn't he?
Well, yeah, Crows.
Yeah, I think of the Crows. I've got the Crows, but it's not a certainty. The Dogs could actually just have that running game that beats them.
And just like, you know what? Playing finals is nice. We should do that again.
Plus, the Crows is a counter-attack game. Yeah. So as long as they can set up behind the ball and not go all in on offense, then they could win.
Well, Eastern would actually be crucial in this game, I think.
But I'm picking Crows.
Yeah, I'm on the Crows too.
Hawks taking the Giants down to Tassie. I think that's the only thing going for Hawks is it's in Tassie.
So what stadium is US?
It is University Stadium. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a university in Tasmania?
Yeah.
They've got school?
University of Tasmania.
I think it. I don't actually know. But
they've got a very good genetic engineering. Legit, they've got very good genetic engengineering and biology.
Because
that's where they grow all the opium for Australia.
They do actually, yeah. It's...
Yeah. And they love that shit. But look, I think Hawthorn are definitely in this, being down there, but I think GWS are going to start very short favourites.
The Hawks have played above themselves the last 2 weeks.
Yeah,
they've done it right. I think GWS back in form.
I think McAvoy beating Grundy is, you know, him getting above. He's not going to beat Mumford. Mumford will eat him alive.
You know what? I reckon he's got a chance. I reckon Mumford's looking slow.
He's looking slow, but he's looking 120 kilo.
But then you've got Patton, you've got Lobb, you've got everyone else. Cameron.
There's some meat on those bones, and there is going to be some Giants grinding bread.
So is that three Giants?
Yeah.
Collingwood and Essendon at the MCG Saturday.
I'm on Essendon just because I want my round of 17 prediction to come true.
You got two to go.
Going to be honest, the only sort of stat I'm looking for in this game is injuries.
Yep. I've got no problem with a nil all draw.
I do not care.
The good thing is one team has to lose.
Yep. That's the positive.
Sydney and the Gold Coast Suns at the SCG. Could be interesting, this one.
I think it could be, but I think Sydney just in too good a form.
I'll tell you what, May on Buddy's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think Buddy's still going to have him.
He's got him definitely in the athleticism department.
I feel like Buddy can pull him downfield, and then what have Gold Coast got to back it up?
Yeah.
I think there's nothing left. So I feel like Sydney will win this probably by 5 goals.
I'd like to see Gold Coast take it up to it, but yeah, I think Sydney as well.
Yeah.
The Lions and the Cats at the Gabba.
I want to be excited for this.
Try your best.
I really want to be able to say I can back Brisbane in, because I think Geelong have shown they're a bit vulnerable. But
the miracle on grass too.
I don't know if they're that vulnerable. I don't think Geelong are a major premiership contender, but I'm damn sure the Brisbane Lions aren't.
Yeah.
Even at the Gabba.
I'd love to see them get up. Don't think it's
going
to
happen.
So would I.
I'm the same. I'm tipping Geelong comfortably, and I'm very happy to be wrong.
I just want a good game from this young Zorko lad.
Yeah. Saints and the Tigers, like we said, at Etihad Stadium. I'm going for the Saints if Nick Riewoldt comes out with a painted-on beard and a bandana.
And dark glasses that he wears all match.
I hope Dusty comes in from parts unknown.
Tigers will destroy them. I honestly can't see them having an answer to the Tigers' pace, which is weird for me to say. Which probably means the Tigers will shit the bed. But no, I think absolutely Richmond are on fire and they should be able to just dominate them.
See, I feel like Saints rely on a forward-heavy structure where you need like three or four goal kickers for them to be able to kick a winning score. I feel like Richmond have the defence to be able to nullify that.
I think so too.
So I think it'll take four quarter from Richmond, because we'll manage to fuck it up at some stage, but we'll get on top at the end.
North and the Dockers at Etihad Stadium. No Sanderlands. He's done for the year.
This is a fight for draft picks. It let's is. Be honest.
Yep. I'm not going to turn up this game just because I don't want to play. there could be a chance that they decide to throw me in ruck.
That's the worst part of pre-game entertainment, when you actually win the contest for the competition.
And it's like you go out there, all right, call the toss. Well, mate, hang on, aren't I tossing the coin? No, mate. You're captain for the day. Have fun. Well, all right.
This is a danger game for North, not in the wins or losses, because who cares for them. But remember they had the Friday night game that only 25,000 turned up to?
Yeah.
How about Sunday afternoon against Freo?
Yeah, they could be just giveaway tickets here.
They're going to have to.
I'm not turning up.
It'd be funny when the homeless were at Etihad Stadium actually giving away shit as opposed to asking for shit.
Yeah, the only way I turn up is if Preus plays.
I'd also like to see Nick Riewoldt make another surprise entry from the stands. I'm going all in on it. I want to see it happen.
Right. Him and Jack. Jack does a heel turn as well, the Twin Towers.
Carlton and Melbourne are the MCG. I tell you what, Carlton, a good chance.
I think Melbourne are vulnerable. I think
16th versus 6th.
They're in all sorts.
This is going to be the best shit game of the weekend.
Yep.
For sure.
I think Carlton legit have them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. Carlton have got the better form.
And I'll tell you what, I think Cruz is going to have Gorn.
Yeah, I reckon so too.
Yep.
I think so.
I think Cruz will be in the ruck and then push down forward, because I think he's a very good mark and he's good from about 30 out.
Yep. And West Coast and Port over at Domain Stadium. What a game. This is going to be an absolute cracker. Yeah.
This is a very important game too, as to who is actually going to have the real contenders for the top 8 spot.
Well, both teams are wildly consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think West Coast at home.
I think it depends on Kennedy.
Yeah, if Kennedy plays, it makes a big thing. But
it's going to be a battle of the shittest forwards, because they've got good forward line players that are playing shit.
Yeah.
So it's going to be who steps up.
I'm on Power. I think they may just have a little bit too much intensity.
I'm worried if Power Pepper tries to don't argue Shannon Hearn. he's taken 16 rounds, but he might get a lesson.
Yeah.
And if we come back next week and he has done it, then all bets are off.
And I mean, all you need is a couple of grip breaking lessons, and don't argue doesn't matter anymore.
All right, so West Coast, Port, and Ben?
I got West Coast.
All right, that'll do us. That's round 16 in the books. We'll be back again next week to see if Nick Riewoldt goes full heel. I'm really excited for it.
He better. He too, absolutely man. Better.
Yep.
All right, bye.
Bye. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.